This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, hi, good to have your company. My name's Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I've been talking with Dr. Justine Toe this week. We've been looking at the 10th anniversary of September 11 and the attacks on New York and Washington. The official memorial to the victims who died in those attacks is to be unveiled, and it's called Reflecting Absence. And Justine, you researched a lot of this, the cultural memory of 9/11. What's that memorial like?
Well, it's actually quite a solemn memorial. It's made up of two pools that mark the footprints of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. Around these pools, there will be the names of the victims who died in the attacks, and these pools are set in a grove of trees. So considering that this is the business district of Lower Manhattan, a lot of money in this area, it's quite significant that quite a large space has been given over to memory and not to making money, essentially.
That's a huge space, isn't it? You've written that the memorial isn't the only structure on the World Trade Center site to remember 9/11. What else is going to be there?
In the process of being built is the Freedom Tower, and this is due to open in 2013. Now, this isn't a memorial, but it's actually an office block, and it's been built to replace the absence of the Twin Towers in the skyline. Now, it actually tells quite a different story to Reflecting Absence in terms of 9/11. The memorial is quite somber, it's sad. The Freedom Tower, however, seems more like a monument, which suggests that it's celebrating a victory, right? And it has this triumphant national story attached to it as well.
Yes, we've been talking about American exceptionalism. That's the story you're referring to. Can you just recap on what that story is?
Sure. If you've heard the line, America is a beacon for freedom and democracy, if you've ever heard that line or variations of that, you're hearing that exceptionalist story, basically. It holds that American democratic institutions and freedoms are something special in the world, and that specialness gives the US a moral responsibility to lead the world by example. So that exceptionalist story in the context of the 9/11 attacks is supposed to strengthen national resolve and help the nation regroup after that vulnerability was exposed.
The skyline there looks sort of naked. It's not surprising, is it, they want to replace this in a sort of, it's a bit of a defiant gesture, I imagine.
It is a little bit.
Now, how do you see this story expressed in the Freedom Tower itself?
Yeah, well, exceptionalist themes actually underwrite the way that the tower has been designed. Firstly, it's supposed to rise 1776 feet into the sky, and that is to echo the American year of independence from Britain. So obviously that also recalls the democratic freedoms that would come to characterise American democracy. Secondly, it was originally supposed to have an off-centre spire. So from one of the corners of the tower, there would be a spire. And that was meant to mirror the Statue of Liberty's arm, you know, where she's holding the torch up. So she's holding that. And this torch is no simple torch. It's the torch of freedom that the immigrants of the world can flock to in search of a better life.
Now, the tower's been redesigned, hasn't it, since it was originally unveiled. Does the change in the way it's going to be designed express the exceptionalist story more than the first one?
The designers are concerned that the Freedom Tower will be a terrorist target. So it's now to sit on a concrete pedestal, actually. And this concrete pedestal has been especially designed to withstand car bombings. And secondly, the Freedom Tower is to be set really far back from the street, so anyone who's got a truck bomb can't, like, actually drive up to it and smash it into the base. So on the whole,
there's an irony there.
There is, absolutely. This tower seems much more anxious than it does victorious.
Now, it's understandable why you'd want to build this tower, try to overcome this sort of empty skyline. But perhaps building a bigger tower might not be the best response, I think you would agree, because it could get attacked again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that weird thing where at the 9/11 site, we're going to have a memorial, which is about defeat and sorrow and loss. There's also the monument, which is attached to victory. That's the Freedom Tower. But, like, both seem like inadequate responses for how 9/11 might best be remembered.
The cross of Christ somehow embodies both a defeat but also a victory within the one thing. Is there any connections there or echoes we could see in the way this could be remembered?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's something that captures both this sense of victory and defeat probably would help best remember 9/11. And I don't know what that might be in terms of a built form, But I do remember the words of Homi Bhabha, who's a cultural critic, and he says that perhaps the best way to remember 9/11 might be exploring the way that the firefighters sacrificed themselves for people. So that's a defeat because they're losing their lives in the process or risking their lives, but it's a victory because they are serving other people and saving other people as well.
I think that's a conversation that's going to go on for decades still. It's good to have it today with you, Justine. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.